Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds. Lawrence?
American, American, American.
So Tim's a little over Batman shit at this point, too.
He goes into the sun to burn those feelings away.
That's it. I'm done. Thank you.
Papa, can you hear me?
Hello, and welcome back to the Brotherhood of Batman. I'm Jake. I'm the middle brother. I'm the one that came with the crazy list of comics that we read through each week.
I'm Aaron. I'm the oldest out of us. I produce this mess. Thanks for tuning back in.
And I'm Ben, the baby brother, and your sunshine into Gotham. This is the Brotherhood of Batman, a podcast where three brothers get together to talk about Batman, DC Comics, and have a fun old time. Today we will be, today we will be recapping Young Justice, A World Without Young Justice, which takes place during the issues of Young Justice 44, 45, Robin 101, Impulse 85, and Superboy 99 in the year 2002.
Wow.
Fuck.
Do neither of you not know how to go through?
That was great. We usually say what we read there, and then we say, well, what's going on your geeky little lives?
Well.
Stop talking about comic books or what do you think you're doing, nerd? Stop spending.
Get
the
nerds!
Geek. Geek. I'm the Batman of geeks, bitch.
I had some. My wife and kids are out at the in-laws tonight since it's the holiday season. And I'm here with you two suckers. So I had some time, got some dinner, and then I stopped at a comic shop and found some things for you. So
for us, prezzies.
Yeah, you know. I don't know if they're any good, but they looked funny and. There you go, Ben.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Aaron.
Hey, yeah. Batman and Santa Claus, Silent Night. Oh, it's so good. Look at how badass Santa Claus is.
It looks like it's got some fun holiday holiday Batman
is that
issues
Krampus?
For you. It is. It looks like that.
Is that Dan Mora? Is the actual question? I think it is Dan.
Thank you.
Yeah, I thought those were.
Oh, Santa is a badass.
I thought those were fun. So,
thank you, Aaron.
Yeah, yes.
Thank you. What'd
I
you
got
get?
DC's "Twas the Mite Before Christmas."
And there's a little mighty people in there.
Yeah, it's a little bat mite, a mighty menagerie of merry mayhem.
Yeah, looked like something you might enjoy. So
yeah.
And while I was Christmas there, fluff. I found a couple. DC mangas that look fun. I picked these up for me. One is Batman Justice Buster, and then the other one is Joker, the Operation Joker. So if you guys want to check those out.
Nice.
They kind of looked fun. So
I thought he was nursing that baby.
He's probably planning on killing it.
Very much looks like he's nursing that baby who is dressed up like little Batman.
All right, I'm into this.
Oh, so this is like real manga where it reads from the other side.
Yeah, from the other side.
Yeah.
You know, when Ben was in Japan.
So I haven't said that recently, but if you want me to find things, I'm sure I can. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Nice. Very nice.
Nice. Thank you for the gifts.
That was fun.
Yeah, thank you.
Well,
yeah.
Since we're giving gifts, I'll give you guys gifts on air too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
wow, Jake.
Here you go.
Sticker.
There you go. Enjoy
Thanks,
these.
Jay.
Wow. It looks like it's James Gordon in a Roadrunner outfit.
Baby.
That's exactly what it is.
But it's a sticker. What a high quality sticker.
Yeah. I've been known to doodle from time to time. And
you doodle.
Whatever joke we had on this podcast about Jim Gordon dressing up as his superhero version of the Roadrunner just needed to be immortalized in sticker form, I felt. So
we appreciate it.
Yeah, enjoy.
Merry Christmas. It's fun. It's going to go in my water bottle.
And it's going to go somewhere
proudly displayed in my house.
Somewhere hidden where Joshua won't see it until like a year from now, and he'll be like, what the fuck?
So I have this problem that I've designed and printed a few stickers now, but I don't put stickers on anything. So I just have these stickers, and I'm like, I don't know what to do with this now.
You know, that's a good point. I should get an ice water bottle, and because I have stickers like from like stores and things.
Yeah.
I have a big white water bottle that's got a Earthworm Jim, Condiment King sticker, and a Batman logo.
This nice water bottle right here that I brought with me tonight would be perfect for a sticker. Do you need one?
I have an extra.
You got some Roadrunner.
Why is it extra? Those were my gifts to you.
I know, and I love them so much.
amazing.
That picture is the picture that we have for the our group chat.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. If you would like a Jim Gordon Roadrunner sticker, message me on our Facebook page and I will mail you one free of charge.
Oh, wow.
To the United States. Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, I'll do
our
it.
Four sure. listeners that sometimes tune in other countries just went very sad emoticon.
Sarah, I'll save you one and give you one person.
Yeah, I think our sister would like one. She likes Looney Tunes, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
What have I been up to? I just started playing the newest Spider-Man PlayStation game. That's fun.
Yeah, nice.
Excited to talk to at least one of your children about that tomorrow, having the family over tomorrow for a pre-Christmas cookie and cocoa night. We did that last year. I'm excited to do it again. I think everyone is coming, which will be nice because last year I think one of the families wasn't able to make it. So
that'll be nice.
That'll be fun.
Yep. Josh looking forward to
makes homemade marshmallows.
Yeah, those are pretty darn good.
So have that and his cocoa. And I messaged all of the nibblings to see if they wanted fancy cocoa or regular cocoa. And I worded it in such a way that they wouldn't think fancy was necessarily better because I don't want child taste buds drinking the cocoa and being like, this is garbage, when it's actually very fancy cocoa. So we have a list.
You can always say fancy and regular and then just give them the cheap shit and they won't know the difference.
Cheap, it's not the money, it's the amount that we will be making.
No,
so,
I understand.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, your children requested the fancy, and so they're going to get it, and your children...
That could be Schnucks versus Aldi's.
Jacob requested the regular. Well, the regular is the box stuff they're used to and sweeter. So I said that in the messages, so they were aware that the regular is sweeter and what they're used to.
All right.
And the fancy is quote-unquote real chocolate.
Fair.
Not quote-unquote, is real chocolate. So that was fun. I was like, oh my God, I have the phone numbers of almost all of my nibblings in my phone, and I felt a thousand years old.
It is kind of weird because I'll be like, they'll ask me a question about, hey, do you think they like, you know, so-and-so will like this? It's like, text your uncle, text your grandfather, blah, blah, blah. Like,
yeah,
it's kind of like, you can do that now. Yeah, it's like.
Now try to get them to pick up the phone and call somewhere and do something.
Well, I make mine periodically at stores and stuff, like go interact and talk and like, sure. Like they have to. They got to figure that out.
Good.
Noah wanted to add something to our pull and hole at the comic book shop. And he's like, hey, can you tell All American to put blah, 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 blah in the pull and hold? I'm like, no, you can.
Yeah.
And you'll get my discount. You'll put it in mine. It'll be there for you whenever you want. He's like, okay. And so like 3 days later, I'm like, did you call Dave and do it? And he's like, no, I didn't want to call. I'm like, that is weird. I'm like, have to call,
it's not weird.
Pick up the
That's
phone and talk
partially
to us.
Literally their job to answer and do that kind of thing.
I love making phone calls, and it's such a dead art now. Like, no one does it. Like, even when I was in like college, people were getting to the point where no one wanted to call, and I'd be like, oh, ordering pizza, I'll do it. Like, I loved having that random interaction.
So when you make a phone call now, Ben, do you like get right to the point, or do you go, hi, so-and-so, how you doing, blah, 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 or do you, like, jump into what you want right away?
I've started jumping in because people are very rude if you, like, have a bit of, like, banter. So if you're like, hey, how's it going? They're like, what do you want? And so I'm like, oh, anyways, I'm just calling for blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Yeah, they get it's kind of weird sometimes.
It's gotten very strange.
Yeah.
Because no one wants to talk on the phone anymore.
No.
No.
I have to make a lot of calls at work, and usually that's, hey, this is da-da-da, calling from blah, 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 and I have so-and-so, you know, and that's kind of where that's how I usually start those. But business ones, like if I'm calling somebody, you know, the Lancer will be like, hey, how you doing? You know, and then you just jump into it, that kind of thing. But
yeah.
I call people all day long.
Yeah.
I don't like talking on the phone.
Yeah.
That's like the bulk of your job.
Oh, yeah. All day long. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you're good at it. Several hundred calls a week. At least it's just with nerds.
It is with nerds. That helps a lot.
Fair.
They all know their kind.
Yes. We speak the same language.
When I worked retail, I really liked answering the phone, and I would often bring that into my regular life, and I would answer and be like, American Eagle or like whatever. And I would just answer my personal phone with whatever store I was working at that year. My favorite though, when I worked at Adidas, I would troll and I would answer and say Adidas, because in every country but the US it is pronounced Adidas because it's named after
the founder, yeah, the
whose guy. Name is Adi Dassler was literally his name. And so I would do that and people would get like, Adidas, what are you talking about, bro? And I'm like,
let me educate you. Wrong number.
It's like, sir, we're really busy. How can I help you at Adidas?
I think when I was back at home, I answered the phone, Happy Joe's, may I help you?
Oh, you definitely did. Yeah.
Yeah. Just from reflex. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Caller ID is a great thing. Otherwise, I would probably be doing the same thing. But yeah.
Well, should we get back to some books that I read when I was a child and actually talked on the phone?
We haven't been that long since we've last read, Ben.
Oh, I meant let's review these books that I read back then.
Can we bring back
the first time I read them? Yes.
Can we bring back a segment after you do a recap here?
Oh, God.
Can we bring back the segment of why the hell did Jake put this in the timeline?
There's lots of reasons you put this in the timeline. So, we read A World Without Young Justice.
I know why you put it in there.
Which is a callback to the very first Young Justice appearance we ever had on the podcast and their first meetup of Robin, Superboy, and Impulse called A World Without Grownups. And this story also has the same villain, who is Bedlam, who is a little kid, a young teen, who got the powers of a genie. Well, he apparently has been in a coma for the entire duration. Yep, this genie's purple. And he's been in a coma for the duration of the Young Justice series since they first defeated him way back when. And he woke up and he's like, you know what? I don't like them. They put me in a coma. So he gets his hands on Impulse, who, of course, has this little power where he can send off these clone drone things, which we have also read in the Worlds at War storyline. And he is back to superheroing, which I don't think he was last time we saw these characters. And Bedlam is hitting Impulse with a giant hammer, repeatedly sending out drone clones off to the past, because that's an aspect of his superpower, because Flashes can all time travel. And he's messing up the continuity, so Young Justice does not exist.
Yeah.
What'd you think, Jake?
So I'm going to jump right into the reason why I think Jake put this in here. And the reason is because I was right all along when I was calling Impulse Kid Flash. That is why.
Yeah. Well, Impulse, so there was
at one point
Flash.
He dons the Kid Flash costume.
He does.
So there you go.
Yeah.
So I am vindicated in my harassment of Impulse.
And this is the first time that Bart Allen wears the Kid Flash outfit. It probably won't be the last.
Yeah.
So I read this when it first came out because I read all these characters then. And this was a story that was happening because the boys' individual books were all being canceled. So it's a crossover. It's got Young Justice 44, 45, and then Impulse, Robin, and Superboy each have one issue. Well, after this series, Superboy only had one issue left. So it was already canceled. And they're like, well, let's do something to try to get anyone who's actually reading Superboy over to read Young Justice, which is why this crossover happened. And then Impulse lasted an extra four issues. So he also had been officially canceled. Because when comics got canceled back in the day, I think they had like 4 or 5 months left. So Robin, however, lasted another 83 issues. So Tim got another like 7 years of his first ongoing storyline. But nowadays, if a book were to get to 89, which Impulse did, is insane. Now books are like 12 and then they reboot them.
Yeah.
So that was why this book exists.
And Young Justice has a little bit of a run.
They have 10. So they have almost a whole year after this. So they did get the Impulse and Superboy readers who, like, they got a little bit of a follow.
Yeah. And we did read A World Without Grown-Ups, so this felt like a bookend to that story for sure.
It did. It did. And I did enjoy, Ben, the part where you find Impulse being smashed with a hammer. I might have laughed a little bit at that. That was pretty funny with Bedlam trying to send this out, and every time Impulse was trying to come up with an idea, he'd get whacked again. I wish I could just have a giant box that had a hammer that could smash somebody whenever I wanted to.
Yeah, that'd be nice. That mm-hmm. would be. Mm-hmm. So, Impulse's scouts, in very classic Flash terms, are traveling through time and messing the timeline up because the Flash or the Impulse scouts are removing items and bringing them back to Bedlam. This has caused the first noticeable change is in the supporting Young Justice cast. Mm-hmm. We meet new versions of everybody, but we meet them through a very specific catalyst, and the catalyst is actually the reason I put this whole book in the series.
So we have a live Jason Todd walking
what?
Through...
Yes, I figured that's why you actually put it in there.
So we have a live Jason Todd, and he's looking for the Young Justice team to bring justice because he's a teen who is done wrong. And so their whole group now supposedly is supposed to help teens who are done wrong. And anyone who's reading this issue has no idea what's going on yet. And they're probably like, why is Jason Todd alive?
Yeah, that's why I was like, what the fuck?
Yep. And he meets...
It sounds like they took a lot of Dick's background storyline to give Jason as the background for his story.
So...
God damn it, Aaron. Fuck you, Aaron. Go ahead, Jake.
Jason Todd's original origin happens...
In the Bronze Age!
Yes, it happens pre-crisis. So the origin that we read...
Is he going on a big tangent where his eyes are going to roll in the back of his head? Then?
The origin that we read is the post-crisis retcon, where he is the street urchin.
Who steals Batman's tires.
Yes. But originally, when he was introduced, he was actually introduced in the same time that Killer Croc was. And he was... Dick Grayson had grown up too much, and he was a teen, and he was a titan at this point. He wasn't Batman and Robin anymore. So they basically just made a new version of him. Jason Todd's parents were acrobats in a circus, and they got mixed up with Killer Croc.
He's just fucking lazy. He was lazy.
He was blonde, and so the first time he puts on the Robin costume, he dyes his hair black, and then after he gets recruited, he just keeps doing it.
Yeah,
that's
so,
really bad writing.
So this, where you've got, like, there's a photo. There's a photo in this story of the Todds, the parents, with Killer Croc.
Oh,
so,
you sent that in a group message or somebody did, and I was like, I don't get it.
So this version of, like, this, like, alternate reality is a throwback to the Bronze Age story where they basically gave him Dick's origin. The Bronze Age.
Okay. Yep.
So that was kind of fun, and I knew that Jake would enjoy that. But then
I did enjoy that.
There was lots of things I loved in this story. I will fully own that this story is not my favorite of the Young Justice series. I have an issue, and I always have this issue with any crossover, when the art is different and the writers are different. And there were times where the Robin, Impulse, and... Well, not the Impulse. The Impulse one was on it, I feel, because it was the most needed. But the Robin and Superboy issues here really didn't necessarily get the memo. Like, they didn't really get what the rules were. Half of the Robin issue we get here is just what's going on in regular Robin continuity.
Yeah, mid-fugitive, right? Robin is dealing with not being able to trust Bruce Wayne and not sure if maybe Bruce actually did commit the murder.
And Stephanie's all dealing with not being able to trust Robin, like, annoyingly so. And I looked and I was like, oh, this is no longer Chuck Dixon. So we're officially deep enough into the ongoing Tim Robin book where it's no longer Chuck Dixon. So that's getting kind of sloppy. So I will say that this is the only Young Justice crossover that they actually give Robin an issue with. So like Sins of You, like all of the other ones we've had where like Impulse will have an issue and Superboy will have an issue, Robin won't. They've kept it separate because Robin is doing all the Bat Family stuff and is more like quote unquote serious mm-hmm. than some of these other kiddie storylines. But this one, because of the point of trying to save the book, they're like, no, you have to participate. So they give like 10 pages of their 22 page issue to
it. Gotcha.
So we were missing Slowbo, right? He is still active in Young Justice at this point, isn't he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he hasn't caught up to the rest of them.
I'm coming.
Hold on, goddammit.
Yeah, he's not addressed at all.
No, he's not. No, but we get different versions of Wonder Girl and Arrowette, and Secret is no longer Secret. Well, they are actually their brother.
Yeah, so yeah. Let's go through them. So my favorite...
Good luck, Aaron.
No, not it's not important. But my favorite...
I'm not paying attention to it anyway.
My favorite part of all of this is a very, I think, subtle joke. So Arrowette here is just like a dark, evil version of Arrowette. And she's got her tits out. First of all, the character doesn't have boobs. Like, they gave her boobs for this, and they're out. Well, if you remember way back when in, what were we even reading it for? The lead up to Sins of Youth, Arrowette quit being Arrowette because she had a run-in with the guys in the woods. She chased down these guys in the woods because one of them killed mm-hmm. her counselor. And so she shoots an arrow at him and Superboy catches it and she quits being Arrowette. Well, when she's having her meltdown the next issue, she's like, oh my God, I'm going to have to be bad now. And they're like, what do you mean you're going to have to be bad? She's like, I can't be a hero. I let the arrow go. And she goes on this little rant of all the things she's going to have to do now that she's evil. And one of them is she says, I'm going to have cleavage. And then she says, oh my God, I'm going to have to get cleavage. So this drawing of her with her tits out and having big tits is a throwback 30 issues before when she made a joke about how if that's she's evil, funny. She has to have cleavage. And that's just the kind of shit that I love about Young Justice, because they never say it in here.
No, that's a good...
For the
good,
psycho
like,
people like
Easter
me.
Easter egg, if yeah. you're yeah. looking for that, or Easter eggs in that sense.
So that's my favorite part of this entire thing. One joke. But yes, then Wonder Girl, they made her fat because she goes...
Dionysus.
Like, Dionysus is the Zeus. Greek god that she cares about here.
Yeah. And there,
which I don't necessarily love all the fat jokes, but
no,
it's
there's a lot of
yeah,
there's a lot of fat, lot of fat shaming in here. Yeah. And then Empress,
oh
is,
my God,
Empress don't need no clothes at all.
We're not, we will not read a single thing with Empress where she's not some awful stereotype of a black voodoo woman running around naked with a snake wrapped around her. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
don't
is
you
the
mean
90s? Yaman? When was this written, Ben?
This was 2002. This is 21 years ago.
That's close to the 90s.
It's not great.
No.
And then Secret, as Jake pointed out, we didn't get much of her, but she's replaced by a villain of the series who is her brother who actually killed her, yada, yada, yada. So it was just kind of a fun turn the page and see what they did to all of them.
Right.
For the ongoing readers. Just kind of a twist. Each of them mm-hmm. had like a little bit different thing going on.
And it's up to Impulse to try to put things right. And
which was, this was the most Impulse actually being a superhero than we have seen in anything else, I think.
Yeah, he wasn't quite the whiny little bitch he normally is. Mm-hmm.
No, he wasn't bad. I mean, he was, you know, the goofiness of him getting whapped and all his clones and whatever, but he actually did do, like, things to try to bring the team back together to realize who they actually were and to kind of snap them out of Bedlam's, you know, trance and whatever power he's put on them.
And I like that. I like that it was him. One, just because he's got so much going on with his new powers in his own book for four more issues. But I specifically like that it's him because Bedlam is mad at the three boys because those are the three he dealt with. Like, the girls weren't even part of the team yet back when the first World Without Grownups. But Impulse specifically is the one that stops him. It was the magic genie world where you thought it and it could happen. And so mm-hmm. Impulse was thinking video games and he just kept thinking reset, reset, reset. And that rewound the whole thing. So I like that Impulse is kind of like Bedlam is kind of Impulse's like Young Justice villain.
Do you think they stopped the Impulse series because I'm being serious.
Go ahead.
Because his powers were becoming too OP, that he's becoming too powerful, going back in time, reverting things. He figures out in here that, oh, I'm just going to go back and keep him in the coma or whatever he did to like send his scout back to do that. This time traveling thing has a lot of repercussions, as we've seen in a lot of stuff. But building up a character that's a teenager that has the ability to shift time periods and modify things like that, in my, I don't know, maybe it's they're making him too powerful and it's like, well we got to backtrack this. This is maybe a little much. This could get out of control and become something down the line. I don't know.
It's a good point. Realistically, it's or
it
all
just
money.
Was sucky and
it's
they
all,
just
they weren't
was buying it.
Selling enough. They were not selling enough. And he, Aaron, the run thing that really, other than just money, that makes me think that not isn't necessarily it, is because all of the Flash books, Flash storylines are bonkers, and they all have time travel, and they so Impulse is overpowered in doing that, but they are doing it with like, haha, it's so funny how he's screwing everything up, where Flash is like screwing everything up, and it's like why we have crises.
Well,
I did like that they joked that this was a crisis. He's freaking out because he's causing a crisis. And I'm like, oh no, they're going to try to make it a Young Justice crisis.
That's what I thought we were leading to, is when they're talking. I was like, oh no.
No, just a silly little. And then
no,
there
George
was even
Lopez, stay away.
the girls, the bad girls club over here is playing video games at one point, and it's a PlayStation 1, which I love.
Yeah.
And it there's a game next to it, and the game box says crisis. So just little shit like that.
Oh, and just the line of why are these events always so hard on Flashes?
Mm-hmm.
just that self-aware is very fun. We'll skip over Doomsboy for a second, but
not for too long.
What? Obviously, this was made 20 years ago now, and so anything that happens still is, you know, it's dated and everything, but. I was blown away, now knowing I didn't put it together that the other series were about to end, and they were doing this as a final crossover to say goodbye to those series. But all of the little stuff that's in this story that is minor teases of major events coming in Batman and DC stuff. So
yeah, like what?
Jason Todd, Impulse's persona change,
Yeah,
crap. I had more than just those two. Oh, who is Robin when Tim is not Robin?
Mm. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of foreshadowing going on here.
Yeah, and so I always wonder, like, when this is happening, like, so I know after some reading articles and stuff that the DC writers would take writing trips. They would go and they'd rent out, like, a cabin, cottage, I'm lost for words, but like an estate, and they'd all go together, and they'd have these big writing retreats, and they'd plan the next couple of years of DC comics and make sure that everything was in line with itself. And sometimes they'd do it like just the Batman teams would go, and then just the Flash's teams would go, and sometimes they'd do it as the whole
the Flash
group
team got done fastest.
Yeah, but then they went back and kept they rewrote their plans, and they had to keep going back and rewriting it. But yeah, they originally finished first.
So I wonder, we are a good year before any of these other events taking place. And
that
so
is a good point.
How much
Jake?
Of this was them like testing the waters of like, what are fans going to react if we stick Jason Todd back in a comic book? What are they going to do?
Yeah,
if
I was gonna,
Impulse
this
isn't Impulse.
Yeah.
Is Jason Todd? This is his first appearance since his death. Is it?
I will do the research to find out if he has a storyline where he's running around as a character, not just as the memory of Jason or like a flashback.
It's got
to
be like a dream or like something, but this felt very like he's here.
Yes.
I mean, we've had his name mentioned once or twice in Batman, which they need to.
And I'm sure there's a flashback when he was Robin and something happened and they had to solve a, you know, I'm sure that has happened. But, like, actually putting a Jason Todd back in the story is, yeah, maybe.
I'm glad you bring that whole thing up, Jake. And I didn't know about their little cabin retreats. And I know, of course, what's going to come with Robin. And I know what's going to come with impulse, Bart Allen. But I did not think about, like, oh, the Jason foreshadowing of it all. So that's interesting. So
maybe they just wanted, and maybe not. Maybe it was, oh, I heard that the Batman team was going to maybe talk about bringing Jason Todd back. And like, let's do that first. Come on.
Yeah, probably. Knowing Peter David and how he just likes slipping little things in here and there. Very possible. But so when Tim is not Robin in this reality, Robin is actually Stephanie Brown.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. What do you think of that?
I liked her costume. I liked the mask under the bottom of her hat.
I would have liked that if we hadn't just gone through COVID and it looked very much like a COVID mask.
It did kind of look like a COVID mask.
It looks ninja, and I like a little ninja in my Robin. I think that's cool.
So. Yeah, it was like Tim's outfit without being an exact replica.
Yes, it felt like its own thing. So it was a neat iteration. I thought it was fun to have such a sharp change in the art style. Mm-hmm. So Robin and, like Ben said, Robin and Stephanie are going through their normal. She's got a cold, so she's talking all funny, which was annoying to read. But Robin is dealing with his feelings about Bruce. And then whatever Bedlam changed flips the universe, and all the art style changed. And it's a little bit more brave and bold, a little bit more fun art style. And Tim
trying to be more similar to the other books, because the Robin book is more realistic looking than like Impulse or Justice.
I like that Tim, although was not Robin, still had figured out that Batman and Bruce were one and the same.
No, I like that too.
That he was still heady. Neighbor. He sees Batman, he's like, hey, neighbor. I'm like, you dumbass.
And then he beats himself up about it, which I thought was great. Like, why did I say that?
Bad Tim. Stupid. You're so stupid, Tim.
He's crying in the shower. Neighbor. Who says neighbor?
That's funny.
The switch to Superboy's alternate reality, not quite as great.
No.
Oh, you don't remember Doom's Boy?
Oh yeah, that was stupid.
So basically they rewrote the origin where they were trying to clone Superman after he died, but they couldn't get his powers, so it's just this little wimpling, like, this
who little keeps weak thinking Clark Kent. That Cadmus' dad is like the scientist's dad, and he's still vying for his affection.
It's so stupid.
Yep, and they were successful in cloning a Doomsday, but they taught him to be good, sort of.
Just like how the girls are like anti-heroes that are kind of villainy. Like all of the new versions are kind of bad.
Yeah.
But
so,
I like the idea of a teen Doomsday. He has a little earring just like Connor did.
So, you know, the climax has Bedlam and Doom's Boy, and they turn Secret into, he changes him to the bad guy's side because that character is a bad guy in Young Justice. So I thought all that fit real well. I thought it was fun there.
Yeah, and the girls team up with the three original boys who started Young Justice. So you get that they're all back together. So Bedlam has failed because they're all back together. And then they redo the whole thing by Impulse sending one scout back to just not have the coma situation happen the way it did.
Right. So, Ben, you read all the rest of this. Is this the end of Bedlam, or does he come back sometime?
This is the end of Bedlam, yes.
Oh, that's kind of a bummer. He wasn't a terrible character. He's kind of...
He's lame in bed now.
Yeah. He kind of reminds me of Mixie Spitlix a little bit.
Sure.
Just kind of that's... style annoying. Of annoying and trying to cause chaos and change things around and that kind of stuff.
I enjoyed him more this go round. So like this is kind of like this isn't my favorite era of the Young Justice series. So when I got there, I was like, oh, Bedlam, I vaguely remember him. But we've read World Without Grown-Ups. And so I liked reading him after reading that and not having reread the whole Young Justice series. It did make him seem more significant.
Well, at the end here, Impulse absorbs all of Bedlam's power. And is now giant and purple.
Yeah, because he wasn't overpowered before. Now he's a fucking genie.
So did they just, like, like,
is that gone next issue?
No. So, so Impulse still quit the team. Impulse still isn't a part of this team.
Yeah, why the fuck does he need the team? He's a giant fucking purple genie now. Well, I don't need you. So I can make myself duplicated.
Unlimited power.
Give me a giant fucking hammer and smash me in the head.
I have something slightly deep to say. Also, at this point, Young Justice itself, like the team itself, was
slightly
kind of
slightly deep about giant purple.
No, listen, not deep, but like make it make sense. So the team had broken apart. So stop. So Tim, you did this. This is all your fault. So Robin had quit the team, had quit Young Justice. We read that here. Robin and Impulse both walked away. They quit the team, right? Well, they had not been a part of the team since. So Bedlam actually brings them back together because he wakes up from this coma. Yes. So dumbass. Ironically, because yes. So like the original members were gone and Bedlam brings them back together. And so this is Robin's return to the team and Impulse still takes a couple issues. I think he comes back when his book ends. Yeah, gotcha. He does. He comes back literally when his book ends in a very comical scene of him and Superboy sitting there and he's like, oh, you're back. He's like, yeah, I just left the comic book store. I'm really depressed because my book ended and I ain't got nothing else to do because I was going to read that today. And so he just sits there and Superboy is like, yeah, man, it sucks when they cancel your favorite comic book. And then the Ray comes in and his book ended years ago. And he's like, oh, are we talking about how the comic book store keeps canceling our favorite books? And then Tim comes in, Robin, and they all just stare at him and then look back at each other. He's like, what'd I do? Yeah.
That's
hilarious.
Pretty funny. That's pretty funny. That's good.
Yeah.
So that's how they brought Impulse back to the team. Was she's like, well, I got nothing else to do because my comic book ended. So. But yeah, so in the last four issues of his ongoing series, which I'm going to read probably when you leave tonight because I'm curious, but I've read them years ago, he does have powers and there's an issue that's like him being giant and he's like, it's him with like Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman behind him and he's like holding this giant word block that's like Impulse, most powerful hero in the universe. So they lean fully into
it. Fuck it. We're getting canceled anyways.
Literally that. They're canceled. So they're like, let's just go crazy.
Get out the dartboard. Fucking purple genie.
Didn't see that coming, did you?
I mean, if you got to go, why not go with a purple genie?
Go out with style.
Oh, God. Well, that was derailed.
So, what did you guys think of World Without Young Justice?
But let me ask you something. What do you think of this? Say it's
all right. That was terrible. Right. Horrendous. I'm offended. I'm it's appalled. Right.
That was
awesome. It's all
right. Yes.
Yes.
No!
Aaron, it sounds like we're going to start with your review because I'm most interested to hear yours.
I didn't hate it.
Okay.
I thought parts of it were funny. I thought...
Aaron, the condo is yours regardless.
Fair. I didn't hate it, though. I mean, I did think parts of it were funny. I thought it opened decently. Trying to get, like, the Jason Todd was a really good hook to get me like, okay, what's going on here? Why is this happening? This is interesting. The whole finding out Bedlam and then Impulse being smashed in the head repeatedly. That's always funny. I didn't, you know, parts of it were like kind of not very well connected, but I did think it did do a nice job kind of flipping the script on the characters. I mean, some of the female stuff was a little overdone.
Big old titties.
Yeah. I mean, some of that and just the fat shaming and some of the other things were not needed. And byproduct of its time, like we've said before on things. But I mean, it's not, is it necessary for this? Doubt it. But I mean, it was not, it's not the worst thing I've read.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Well, if you've got to keep pushing Hush back, Jake's like, we might as well give Ben something he's gonna like.
That's part of it.
I enjoyed it. I will say, I think the Young Justice issues, so the two bookends of it, are strong. And I think the Impulse issue is strong, but I just really love that art. I have original art by that guy up on my wall. And the Robin and Superboy, I was annoyed that they were a little disconnected, and the Superboy art really annoyed me because the last like 10 issues of Superboy, when they kind of know they're being canceled, they just threw random artists on it. So
yeah, that's stupid.
So yeah, so overall, it felt very disjointed, like they weren't all communicating great, but I like the bookends and the impulse issue.
Yeah, Jake.
To try to find something to add to what you guys say, because I agree with both of you. I put it in because I was finding out when researching the events coming down the road in our timeline, how far back could you trace some of those? And finding that they kept happening in these Young Justice things, and they were all in the same story. I'm like, wow, that, maybe we'll read that. And we have spent a lot of time with the Young Justice. We have spent the
to keep me.
We've spent the most of our podcast reading from the 80s to the 90s releases, and they are a big deal, especially to Ben and our love of comics and all that kind of thing. But it was a fun crossover that is night. Like, we just finished a big crossover from the Batman family that has 8 titles that it has to dabble in, and you get jarring storytelling and different art styles. And this was not nearly as jarring. And it was, so it was nice to have a cross title crossover that actually worked and fit and was compact and wasn't overburdened with filler and stuff like that.
So what I'm hearing is 5 issues is palatable.
Yeah.
But 4 trades is too much.
So it is not important at all, but I did find it a really interesting tease of a lot of big things to come, which was shocking.
Yeah.
To me.
Fair.
But it's not important to the timeline.
Not at all. Whatsoever. No, not at all.
It's not even important to Young Justice's timeline, other than what Ben said that I wasn't listening to. So.
Wow. What's next, Jake?
Well, if you're reading along with us, we're going to read Hush next. No, we're not. We have
that
one more episode, boys.
Funny,
one
like
more episode.
6 months ago.
I really don't even want to read it anymore. I'm not
so,
even going to read it.
Ben,
I'm just going to go off memory.
Your series, a couple of your favorite series ended right around this time. One of my favorite series that I collected is also ending right before
Asriel?
We get
there.
We're going to read the final issues of Asriel. And what happens to one JPV who you've spent a lot of time with?
Oh my God, does he die?
Does he get eaten by a dog?
Next week with us. Now,
Kibbles and bits.
I apologize because I was trying to get the reading done ahead, and I wasn't. It's not collected anywhere, and so I was reading a bunch of issues to figure out which ones we actually needed to read. So we are definitely reading the final 4, which would be 97, 8, 9, and 100. But we may go a couple before that, too. So,
yay.
But at least the final 4.
Aaron, all right.
And we'll wrap up some Asriel stuff.
Thank God. Aaron, what did we learn?
It's that time again.
To do another one of our cute little skits?
No, it's time to learn the day's lesson. And to find out what it is, we turn to the Wheel of
Batman.
Wheel of
Batman.
Turn. Tell us the lesson that we should learn.
Well, there are very many things that we learned, but if you've got to go out with a giant purple genie.
Yeah.
Why the fuck not?
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
For the Brotherhood of Batman, I am Ben, your sunshine into Gotham and the baby brother.
Do you think it was their attempt to wish for more issues?
No.
Yeah. No. I'm Jake, the middle brother. Thank you for listening.
I'm Aaron. I'm the oldest of us. I'll clean this up. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy your holiday season.
The holiday season.
Hopes have been his plans, this city's way.